This is Trends and Issues in Instructional Design, Educational Technology, and Learning Science, hosted by Abby Brown and Tim Green.
Hi, this is Tim, and I'm here with Abby.
Hi, this is Abby, and I'm here with Tim.
Welcome to episode 80 of our podcast, where we review the trends and issues in instructional design, educational technology, and learning sciences that we observed as we flipped resources into our Flipboard magazine. In this episode, we have three trends that we observed and three recommended readings to go along with the trends. So, Abby, start us off by talking about the three trends.
Thank you, Tim. Yes, we have three trends that we noticed this past 2 weeks. The first one, no surprise, is virtual reality and augmented reality. Although we mention it first because it had the largest number of media mentions. But there wasn't a lot that was really new and different, or not a wide variety of things. What we're going to recommend for reading here, what we think is probably one of the more interesting applications of augmented reality for instruction. The reading is Augmented Reality App from IBM and New York Times Tries to Make History Fun. And this is by Adario Strange for Mashable. It's a description of a really interesting endeavor, which is to actually create augmented reality statues and the statues come with biographies of people who are part of science and tech historically, but may have been sort of unsung heroes. And it's heavily based on the movie Hidden Figures and the idea of sort of bringing to light some of these people who made major contributions without receiving a lot of recognition at the time. So we recommend reading about it because it really is an interesting take on augmented reality. If you have the app and you're on your smartphone and you go to a physical location and aim at the QR code, it will then replace the QR code as the view in your phone with a statue of somebody and description of that person. And I got to say, it looks pretty cool. I'm sorry that we don't have one in the Eastern North Carolina area, but I'm looking forward to going up to Washington, D.C. and hunting down the one there. So that's what we have going on for VR and AR in the past few weeks. The second trend that we saw was online learning. And again, this is a trend that is not unusual to anybody listening. We've been noticing online learning as a trend for quite a while. There were a myriad articles on a number of different topics all related to online learning. And the range was from badges and badging, course exchanges, op-ed pieces, opinion pieces about the future of and the importance of online learning, MOOCs, the resurgence of MOOCs, or the continued use of MOOCs, the resiliency of MOOCs, various aspects of research related to online learning and online learners. It really ran the whole range. The article that we're recommending, because we thought that this was probably the most thought-provoking among what we saw, is Looking Beyond the LMS, Why a Single App Won't Work, by David Raths, for campus technology. Now, Tim, I don't know about you. I may be a dinosaur when it comes to this, but I've always tried to design my online instruction to focus on what I refer to as one-stop shopping, that the LMS was the only thing, as opposed to sort of having a number of different options for people or requirements for people to use a number of different access strategies. I always had everything encapsulated in the LMS. This article is saying that the LMS may still be the linchpin, but that there may be so many more other options and opportunities. So I think it's well worth looking at and thinking of. You know, it's making best guesses, but it's kind of hard to make some good guesses when there isn't much out there.
So I'm neither going to agree or disagree with you about your dinosaur comment, by the way, but I will agree with you.
Opportunities, because people are seeing educational technology as a financial opportunity.
Definitely is a good read and a thought-provoking article.
The third trend that we noticed in these past 2 weeks was K-12 classroom tech resources. The Classroom Tech resources, again, very wide range of different things, a lot of recommendations. It is still January of 2017, so we are seeing a lot of recommendations for what people are predicting will be the top tools for the year, the top tools from last year, things like that. But what we saw as being particularly interesting, noteworthy, and worth reading more about is a recent decision by Adobe Software to make their lighter versions of many of their production tools available for free for the Chromebook, which is a very popular item in schools. So the article we're recommending is Adobe Launches Chromebook Apps for Free in the Name of Education by D.L. Cade for Petapixel. And part of this is also showcasing the new generation of Chromebooks, which recently came out. But that the software itself is incredibly helpful for students. On the other hand, Tim, I think you and I agree that this is not necessarily pure altruism on the part of Adobe.
No, I would say not. We love that they're doing this, like you mentioned, but I think they have an end game in sight to get them hooked on their products.
Well, I think we're agreed that it just makes good sense to get everybody sort of on the Photoshop bandwagon, you know, starting in fifth grade. So it's a win-win. I mean, it's also it gives people the really strong media production tools for free. So so those were our three trends and our recommended readings, Tim.
And as a reminder, you can find links to those recommended readings on our website, and we'll share that URL at the end of the episode. So now, Abby, on to the crystal ball. What do we predict in the upcoming weeks? And then we were talking about this, and it's a little bit murky, isn't it?
It is. Now, of course, a crystal ball is predictions. You know, it's making best guesses, but it's kind of hard to make some good guesses when there isn't much out there. We can say with some confidence that VR and AR and online learning are going to continue to be important topics that come up frequently in the media. But I guess because it's a really slow time of year for us. I mean, we've just passed the big trade show, consumer electronic trade shows like the CES and some of the other ones that occur in Europe. They've all just kind of finished up. And so we're not seeing a lot of new news about the actual electronics items themselves. And as you point out, Tim, we're not quite geared up yet for the academic conferences.
Yeah, it seems in the academic world and even just not just higher ed, but K-12, it seems like things start ramping up in March.
Yeah.
So we have a few conferences coming up in March, and then you and I are talking about AERA is generally in April.
Yeah, and of course, ISTE, which is a big one, isn't until the end of June, early July. So, in hazarding a bit of a guess based on experience at this point, I would say that we can look at security issues. We can look to see, you know, we'll probably see a number of security issues come up as they're related to especially higher ed and on-campus activity. And I guess it's sort of more of a wishful thinking than it is a prediction, but we have seen a number of instructional design articles coming out in the last few months. And I think we might look forward to seeing a few more of those as people are paying greater attention to the design of instruction itself and applying it to a number of these educational technology platforms and opportunities, because people are seeing educational technology as a financial opportunity. But of course, you've got to make a good product if you want people to use it. And making a good product means designing it well. So that's sort of the logic behind it, but we don't see any actual evidence. This is mostly just kind of intuition at this point. So there we have it, Tim. It's a murky crystal ball. We've got some thoughts. I think we can pretty much guarantee virtual reality and augmented reality for sure are going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Well, that brings us to the conclusion of episode 80. We'd like to thank our followers and viewers of our Flipboard magazine and our podcast subscribers. You can visit our website at trendsandissues.com to listen to past episodes of the podcast. Our next episode airs on February 10th.
This podcast is produced by Professor Abby Brown at East Carolina University and Professor Tim Green at California State University, Fullerton. Copyright Abby Brown and Tim Green. This is Trends and Issues in Instructional Design, Educational Technology, and Learning Science, hosted by Abby Brown and Tim Green.
Hi, this is Tim, and I'm here with Abby.
Hi, this is Abby, and I'm here with Tim.
Welcome to episode 80 of our podcast, where we review the trends and issues in instructional design, educational technology, and learning sciences that we observed as we flipped resources into our Flipboard magazine. In this episode, we have three trends that we observed and three recommended readings to go along with the trends. So, Abby, start us off by talking about the three trends.
Thank you, Tim. Yes, we have three trends that we noticed this past 2 weeks. The first one, no surprise, is virtual reality and augmented reality. Although we mention it first because it had the largest number of media mentions, but there wasn't a lot that was really new and different, or not a wide variety of things. What we're going to recommend for reading here, what we think is probably one of the more interesting applications of augmented reality for instruction. The reading is Augmented Reality App from IBM and New York Times Tries to Make History Fun. And this is by Adario Strange for Mashable. It's a description of a really interesting endeavor, which is to actually create augmented reality statues and the statues come with biographies of people who are part of science and tech historically, but may have been sort of unsung heroes. And it's heavily based on the movie Hidden Figures and the idea of sort of bringing to light some of these people who made major contributions without receiving a lot of recognition at the time. So we recommend reading about it because it really is an interesting take on augmented reality. If you have the app and you're on your smartphone and you bring it and it's you go to a physical location and aim at the QR code, it will then replace the QR code as the view in your phone with a statue of somebody and description of that person. And I gotta say, it looks pretty cool. I'm sorry that we don't have one in the eastern North Carolina area, but I'm looking forward to going up to Washington, D.C. and hunting down the one there. So that's what we have going on for VR and AR in the past few weeks. The second trend that we saw was online learning. And again, this is a trend that is not unusual to anybody listening. We've been noticing online learning as a trend for quite a while. There were a myriad articles on a number of different topics all related to online learning. And the range was from badges and badging, course exchanges, op-ed pieces, opinion pieces about the future of and the importance of online learning, MOOCs, the resurgence of MOOCs, or the continued use of MOOCs, the resiliency of MOOCs, various aspects of research related to online learning and online learners. It really ran the whole range. The article that we're recommending, because we thought that this was probably the most thought-provoking among what we saw, is Looking Beyond the LMS, Why a Single App Won't Work, by David Raths, for Campus Technology. Now, Tim, I don't know about you. I may be a dinosaur when it comes to this, but I've always tried to design my online instruction to focus on what I refer to as one-stop shopping, that the LMS was the only thing, as opposed to sort of having a number of different options for people or requirements for people to use a number of different access strategies. I always had everything encapsulated in the LMS. This article is saying that the LMS may still be the linchpin, but that there may be so many more other options and opportunities. So I think it's well worth looking at and thinking of. You know, it's making best guesses, but it's kind of hard to make some good guesses when there isn't much out there.
So I'm neither going to agree or disagree with you about your dinosaur comment, by the way, but I will agree with you.
Opportunities, because people are seeing educational technology as a financial opportunity.
Definitely is a good read and a thought-provoking article.
The third trend that we noticed in these past 2 weeks was K-12 classroom tech resources. The classroom tech resources, again, very wide range of different things, a lot of recommendations. It is still January of 2017, so we are seeing a lot of recommendations for what people are predicting will be the top tools for the year, the top tools from last year, things like that. But what we saw as being particularly interesting, noteworthy, and worth reading more about is a recent decision by Adobe Software to make their lighter versions of many of their production tools available for free for the Chromebook, which is a very popular item in schools. So the article we're recommending is Adobe Launches Chromebook Apps for Free in the Name of Education by D.L. Cade for Petapixel. And part of this is also showcasing the new generation of Chromebooks, which recently came out. But that the software itself is incredibly helpful for students. On the other hand, Tim, I think you and I agree that this is not necessarily pure altruism on the part of Adobe.
No, I would say not. We love that they're doing this, like you mentioned, but I think they have an end game in sight to get them hooked on their products.
Well, I think we're agreed that it just makes good sense to get everybody sort of on the Photoshop bandwagon, you know, starting in fifth grade. So it's a win-win. I mean, it's also, it gives people the really strong media production tools for free. So those were our three trends and our recommended readings, Tim.
And as a reminder, you can find links to those recommended readings on our website, and we'll share that URL at the end of the episode. So now, Abby, onto the crystal ball. What do we predict in the upcoming weeks? And then we were talking about this, and it's a little bit murky, isn't it?
It is. Now, of course, a crystal ball is predictions. You know, it's making best guesses, but it's kind of hard to make some good guesses when there isn't much out there. We can say with some confidence that VR and AR and online learning are going to continue to be important topics that come up frequently in the media. But I guess because it's a really slow time of year for us. I mean, we've just passed the big trade show, consumer electronic trade shows like the CES and some of the other ones that occur in Europe. They've all just kind of finished up. And so we're not seeing a lot of new news about the actual electronics items themselves. And as you point out, Tim, we're not quite geared up yet for the academic conferences.
Yeah, it seems in the academic world, and even not just higher ed, but K-12, it seems like things start ramping up in March.
Yeah.
So we have a few conferences coming up in March, and then you and I are talking about AERA is generally in April.
Yeah, and of course, ISTE, which is a big one, isn't until the end of June, early July. So, in hazarding a bit of a guess based on experience at this point, I would say that we can look at security issues. We can look to see, you know, we'll probably see a number of security issues come up as they're related to especially higher ed and on-campus activity. And I guess it's sort of more of a wishful thinking than it is a prediction, but we have seen a number of instructional design articles coming out in the last few months. And I think we might look forward to seeing a few more of those as people are paying greater attention to the design of instruction itself and applying it to a number of these educational technology platforms and opportunities, because people are seeing educational technology as a financial opportunity. But of course, you've got to make a good product if you want people to use it. And making a good product means designing it well. So that's sort of the logic behind it, but we don't see any actual evidence. This is mostly just kind of intuition at this point. So there we have it, Tim. It's a murky crystal ball. We've got some thoughts. I think we can pretty much guarantee virtual reality and augmented reality for sure are going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Well, that brings us to the conclusion of episode 80. We'd like to thank our followers and viewers of our Flipboard magazine and our podcast subscribers. You can visit our website at trendsandissues.com to listen to past episodes of the podcast. Our next episode airs on February 10th.
This podcast is produced by Professor Abby Brown at East Carolina University and Professor Tim Green at California State University, Fullerton. Copyright Abby Brown and Tim Green.